This morning's responsive read came out of Psalm number 21. And so if you would be so kind, and if you're willing, please join me in Psalm 21, which we've entitled A Thanksgiving for Victory, in Psalm chapter 21. Verse 1 helps us to kind of get a feel. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. Now, according to my edition, this is telling us that this was something written to the chief musician, a psalm of David. But there's something else that caught my attention when we read this a few moments ago, and that is found in verse 11 and 12. I'm surprised that in this edition that normally marks with a star, verses in the Old Testament that seem to be messianic or pointing to Christ. To me, I thought I saw Christ veiled in these words. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device. Well, turning Jesus over to the Romans to have him, you know, crucified and to be killed, which they are not able to perform. Even though Jesus died on the cross and was buried, 3 days and three nights later, the tomb was found vacant. It was empty. So even though the Jewish apostate religious leaders thought that they had Jesus basically in a vice, now turning him over to Pilate, and raising a very strong defense for Pilate to have him crucified. And even though Pilate was warned by his wife, have no dealings with this righteous man, leave him alone. And even though Pilate was willing, at least willing, to whip him and then send him on his merry way, even Pilate said, I find no fault with the man. The Jewish leaders insisted. And then Pilate offers, well, this time of the season, we normally let one of you bad guys go free. So his Barabbas and his Jesus, which one do you want? And the whole crowd goes bonkers. Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And then Pilate says, well, shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. And if you let this man go free, you yourself is no friend of Caesar's. And so Pilate, I believe, was not only being played by the religious leaders, in the end, I think Pilate was playing them. Well, shall I kill your king? Oh, we have no king but Caesar. Pilate almost forcing them to verbalize a public profession of allegiance to Caesar, whom the Jews hated. I think both were playing each other that day. That's my opinion. Both were playing each other. And then verse 12, therefore shall thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. And I see verses 12 maybe pointing to that AD 70 situation where Jesus did return in judgment upon those who pierced him, according to Revelation chapter 1. They shall behold him whom they have pierced. And so, my dear friend, let us realize that there are times and seasons when the book of Psalms has a real deep, deep message if we only have the eyes to see. Notice also verse 3, for thou preventest him with the blessing of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Here's David confessing and just telling us the provision, the love, the compassion, the mercy, the grace of God upon him. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him more blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. And I mention, I'm going to mention it here again. In the first six verses, we see where David is simply aiming and extolling his God. And then there seems to be a shift in verses 7 onward where David talks about his adversaries and the fact that even in the context of his adversaries, the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God was there to deliver David, to grant the victory. For the king trusted in the Lord, verse 7, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Other places it says, we shall not be confounded, or that we shall not be ashamed. The steadfastness and the security of the believer. Thy hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Again, a very graphic prophecy in my mind of what would eventually occur shortly after the middle of the first century upon Jerusalem and the temple. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. Why? Well, they intended evil against thee. They imagine a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore thou shalt make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy name. So here, as you can see, the concept in this particular psalm, a thanksgiving for God's divine intervention and granting victory from David's enemies, and in the end, from the enemies of the greater David himself. Well, may the Lord truly bless his word.